Hi, welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and today we're going to talk about butterflies. I first got hooked on butterflies when I joined Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy back in about 99 and went on one of the butterfly walks and the butterfly count that was going on at the time. It was a great experience to go out with Bob Lyon and some other really top-notch butterfly identifiers and be exposed to so many different species all at once. So that's how I got hooked. And now today I go on almost all of the butterfly walks we have. I've planted butterfly gardens, and I'm also the coordinator for our annual butterfly count. So I obviously got hooked. Here in Loudoun, we have 85 species of butterflies, and they range in size from the smaller butterflies like the least skipper and some of the azures, all the way up to the giant swallowtail and other large swallowtails. So quite a range in terms of the size, and then also the different colors. Some are blue, some are orangey, some are black, some are white, some are purplish, like the red-spotted purple, just a really great diversity. Some are even green, like the Oliver Juniper hair streak that we have here, too. Most species of the butterflies need temperatures of about 70 degrees in order to fly, and that's so that they can warm up the fluids in their wings and be able to take flight. So the best time to go out looking for butterflies is in the later part of the morning, like around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. We actually have our butterfly walks at 10:30 so that we're sure that the butterflies will be out and flying around. And as long as it's not overcast, we're pretty sure to see some activity. So that's a lot of fun. The life cycle of the butterfly starts with the host plant. So all of the butterflies, they used host plants where they lay their eggs, and they're very specific in terms of what plants they lay their eggs on. The caterpillars will hatch out from these eggs, and they'll eat that host plant. And for most butterflies, or at least a lot of the butterflies, they only use one or two very specific plants that they'll actually be able to have the caterpillars eat. So you can do some research if you're interested in certain species or if you want to raise some butterflies. You'll need to research the specific host plant that that butterfly uses. The caterpillars, once they've hatched, they go through a series of instars. And instars are things where it's sort of a state of growth where the caterpillars will shed their skin and emerge to grow to the next size, I guess, of their caterpillar. Some of them go through 5 instars, some 7, and they grow through those periods, eating the host plant as they go, and then developing into a chrysalid. And that's when they make that transformation into the butterfly. After the butterfly has transformed in the chrysalid, they'll emerge from that and become the butterfly. So they'll emerge and they'll dry their wings and take flight for the first time. And the butterfly will live, it can be a few days, a few weeks, or in the case of monarchs and some of the other species, it could be for even over the winter. So there's different lifespans depending on when the butterfly was born, and then also depending on the species. So some interesting things that you can learn about there as you learn specifics around specific butterflies. When they overwinter, some butterflies will overwinter as adults, like some of our question marks and commas, and I believe the juniper hair streak is one of those as well. They'll overwinter as adults. Some will overwinter in the egg form, and some will overwinter in the chrysalid form. So they all have their different strategies in order to get through this period. There's also some that migrate. As I mentioned earlier, the monarch has a long lifespan, and they're also our long-distance migrator. So the monarchs that are hatched and that are around in the late fall, about September, October, those are the ones that are also traveling all the way to Mexico, making a flight of over 2,000 miles in order to get to very special wintering sites in Mexico, where they'll hang out on, literally hang out on the trees and stay there through the winter, and then they'll start their journey back in the springtime. So it's pretty amazing. There are also a few other species that do this as well. The painted lady is another one, as well as one of the sulfur butterflies. They'll also do some migrating, although not as far as the monarch. So some other interesting things about the monarch is that while they seem fragile, they're actually pretty strong flyers, and they're able to fly at speeds of up to 20 miles per hour and at altitudes of over 10,000 feet, which is pretty amazing considering their size and what they're all about. There are some interesting programs that are available through Monarch Watch and some others where you can do monarch tagging. And then they collect data to find out how far did these different monarchs make it. Did they make it all the way to Mexico? Did they not? And then in some cases, they even see some on the way back, on the journey back. So that's pretty interesting, too. Some things that you can do to attract butterflies are to plant some host plants. There are all sorts of different guides out there. You can even check our Gardening for Wildlife plant list on the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy website, where you can read about the different host plants that the butterflies use. For example, the Eastern Tiger Swallowtail and the Red Spotted Purple, they both use the cherry tree. Monarchs use milkweed. The common buckeye uses snapdragons and monkey flowers. The pipe vine swallowtail uses pipe vine. The hackberry emperor uses the hackberry tree. Spice bush swallowtail uses the spice bush. All sorts of different things. The fritillaries, which are a beautiful little group of butterflies that are orangish color, they use violets, which is really great to see. You'll see them in the springtime eating up the violets that have just emerged, so that's pretty neat. In addition to the planting the host plants, you can also plant the nectar plants. Some real special ones are the Joe Pye weed, Rudbeckia, purple coneflower, some of the milkweeds, asters, goldenrod, and then there are some non-natives like zinnias and cosmos, which are also pretty popular with the butterflies. So those are some good things to bring them in. Another thing that might be a little unexpected is that you can also put out rotting fruit, especially bananas. So if you have some bananas sitting around and you don't want to make banana bread, you can put them out in a dish, sort of mash them up a little bit with a little bit of water, and you'll probably have some red spotted purples, some tawny emperors, maybe some hackberry emperors, and some others that will come over. The commas and the question marks also seem to really enjoy the rotting fruit. I think they come for the high fructose drink that they can have, and they'll let you get pretty close and inspect them as they're devouring this great nectar that's there. And then in wintertime, something that you can do for the butterflies is to actually leave your garden a little untidy. They're going to be overwintering, as I said, either as adults or eggs or as the chrysalids. And most often they're going to be there in those old stems of your plants and places like that or under the leaf litter. So if you can leave your garden a little untidy through the winter and wait until May, you'll have a much higher success rate in having the butterflies make it through that next spring. And really, butterflies are just a joy to watch. They're just so much fun to watch as they're nectaring or as they're, laying the eggs on the different host plants and watching them grow. So it's really a lot of fun, and they're quite beautiful. And if anyone's into photography, this is a great subject as well. As they're nectaring, I've noticed, you can get pretty close to them because they're so interested in feeding. So that's a good chance. If you'd like to join us for our annual butterfly count and learn more about our local butterflies, our butterfly count is coming up on August 2nd. And basically what we do is we have a big circle that we carve up into different sectors, and we have different teams that go out. And each team is led by someone who's a butterfly expert. And like I mentioned before, this is just a great way to learn. You're learning just so many different species all at once and gain that great exposure. So It's a lot of fun, and you can stay out for as long as you like. We generally start around 9 o'clock in the morning, and people will stay out, you know, through the afternoon, but it kind of depends on the heat. So you can always drop off around noon or whenever you need to, and just take in as much as you like. You can find out more about the butterfly count on the website, and you can also sign up on the website as well. So we have we have our butterfly checklist, which is on there, as well as the count circle. So you can take a look at where we'll actually be going, and if there's a certain area that you're particularly interested in hitting, then we can try to line you up on the right team too. So that's something we can also accommodate. Closer up to us on the timeline, this coming Saturday on July 26th, we have two interesting activities. In the morning, we have Birding the Blue Ridge Center at 8 a.m., and that'll be just a great bird walk through the Blue Ridge Center, through the different forests and fields, and exploring the natural habitats there to see what birds are still around. And then that will be followed by a butterfly walk at 1 o'clock, where we'll take a look at the different species that are around. And it could be a great introduction if you're interested to butterflies. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll be doing a potluck picnic. So come on out, join us. All ages are welcome. And we'd love to have you. So I think that's about all the news and info for this episode. For more information about Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy, visit our website at www.loudounwildlife.org. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.